Today is often called Cheese Fair Sunday. This is the day when we typically have our last amount of dairy in our homes and then also in our church. We will have, of course, some cream cheese with the bagels today to mark that. I know it's a painful thought for many of us, including the young ones. I want to cry too. So we enter into the fast at the end of the day today. Up until this point, the last 2 weeks have been in preparation for what begins at sunset today. Why do we fast? We've already talked about these things. The purpose of fasting is to strengthen our willpower. It does not change God, but it is an opportunity to change ourselves. I say an opportunity because fasting in and of itself cannot change us. You can give up all the food you want for 40 days, but you will still be drinking water. Even the demons fast for 40 days from food and water. So we have to remember that fasting in and of itself does not change us. The devil doesn't eat nor drink. So what makes us different in our fasting from a demon who does not eat nor drink? We must be like not the fallen angels, but rather the angels of God. We must live in accordance with His commands. And that is the purpose of fasting, to help us with that. When we have to make that decision on a daily basis, to give up that thing, whatever it is, or those things that we've decided with ourselves or in our family, that we're going to be giving up for Great Lent. Traditionally, these are certain types of foods, meats, dairy products, eggs, all of the products that come from animals. This is not only a very healthy thing to do physically for you, of course, but this is an opportunity. This is not something easy, and so it's an opportunity to, on a daily basis, a few times a day, to make a decision. To make a decision. To choose something which maybe choose against something that we would prefer. Our bodies are yearning for that cheeseburger. And so we say, no, I'll just have the salad. And doing that strengthens us. Every time we do that, we strengthen our willpower. Any of you who have attempted to go out and exercise, maybe tried to do some push-ups, or some pull-ups on a bar, or maybe decide to go walking, you know that when you first begin, it's very difficult. If you haven't done push-ups in a few years, you get down on the ground and you can barely do one, maybe not at all. But you struggle. It's hard. And the second time, the next day, you try it again, and wow, look at that, I can do two. That wasn't too bad. Well, that's about it. The next day, you might be able to do two or three. A week later, you might be able to do 10 push-ups with ease. And I said, can you do a push-up? You said, oh yeah, you drop down, you can do a push-up. Oh, it's easy, a push-up, come on. How different we are 1 week later from regularly exercising those particular muscles. And so it is with our willpower as well. When we do not fast throughout the year and during the great fasting periods, our willpower is not being exercised. And so it's very easy for us to fall into temptation. And you know the temptations that are out there. On the internet, in the workplace, in the home, wherever, in school. And so it is very important to take the opportunities that the Lord has provided for us through the various fasting seasons in the church, particularly the one we enter into at sunset. This fast originally began as the preparation for baptism of the catechumens who would be baptized on Holy Pascha. And as they were preparing for their baptism and fasting and praying and giving alms, changing their life, a life of repentance over 40 days, they were being transfigured from the pagan world to the Christian world. And then they were baptized, having repented, changed their life, they were baptized, and now ready to make a new life. The catechumens, that is, those who were preparing for baptism in the early church, were always accompanied in their trip to the church every day to hear their catechesis, to be prayed over by the bishop or the priest. The catechumen was always accompanied by their sponsor, that is, the person who had initially introduced them to the faith and brought them to the church to enter into the catechumenate. That sponsor, or godparent, as we often call it, that individual or individuals, they would come with the person and pray with them and help them in this journey. And so they would often accompany them also in the extra prayers and fasting. And in the early church, there were so many catechumens because there were so many sponsors that before you knew it, half the church was fasting through the 40 years or 40 days. And so the church eventually adopted this practice so that all the faithful are encouraged, along with catechumens, to prepare to celebrate the baptism of the coming catechumens, but also the death and resurrection of our Lord. It's an opportunity to walk through the catechumenate again every year. We've also spoken about prayer. Why do we pray? Well, you cannot fast and change your life without prayer. As I said, demons will always outfast us. Right? So, we need to pray. That's the difference of a demon in his fasting and us in our fasting. We pray. We have conversation with God on a regular basis. Hopefully, at least, as the early Christians did, three times a day. What did the early Christians do? They prayed the Our Father in the morning, at noon, and before they went to bed. And you can't tell me you don't have time for that. Right? We all have time for that. So try to find, as you found some sort of way to fast this great fast, this Lent, please also make sure you meditate on ways in which you can increase, improve on your daily regular prayer. Your daily regular prayer. And then third, as I mentioned, we should increase our almsgiving during this time, during any of the fasts. We should look to those who are around us, who are in need. A soup kitchen, a local nonprofit thrift store, maybe donations to the church, someone on the street. Some way to give of what we have to those who are in need. God gives us the opportunity to be an instrument of His love and care for those around us. When someone stands before us who is in need and we do not help them, we are not only not being an instrument for God, but we're also losing an incredible opportunity to participate, to be the hand of God in the love of fellow man. This is an incredible opportunity. It's an incredible opportunity. How can we do that? How can we give of the things we have that we think we need? You know, go into the attic. Go into the closet. Go into, if you have, a basement. In the garage. In the storage unit, maybe even. And look at the things that have been sitting around for more than a year. Look in the closet for clothing you haven't worn for an entire year. If you haven't worn it for a year, if you haven't used that thing in the garage for a year, odds are you're never going to use it again. Your children will give it to a thrift store shortly after your funeral. So maybe save them the opportunity. Save them the time. Use the opportunity now to clear out the things that we've accumulated. We Americans are so wealthy. We have so much. The poorest in the country live like kings compared to people in other countries. The poorest in our country would be considered wealthy in many regions. And we who have been blessed, who drove here in nice cars, and right, who could travel, put gas in your car, could afford these things, these luxuries, surely we have something that we've accumulated, extra things. We don't need to tear down our barns and build bigger ones. We don't need to go and buy an extra storage unit or expand this storage area so we can store more. We need to look at what is sitting around and realize that those are things we don't need. Abundance that the Lord has given us that we have not handed on to those who could use it. So we need to increase our fasting. We've already talked about that, and we'll talk about it more as we go along through the Great Fast. We need to increase our prayer, and we need to increase our almsgiving. I have for you something I've handed out before to you in the past. Some of you may still have copies or an older edition. Some of you may not have received these before. This is a small little booklet that we put together of basic Christian prayers. Okay? These daily prayers for Melkites, you could just put for Christians, early Christians. These are the prayers that the early Christians in the first few centuries were praying. You know, I say, well, what do I pray? How do I pray? Well, a nice place to start where the church started. So, you'll find here in these daily prayers for Christians a simple form of morning prayer. And I wouldn't, if you've never done any of this, don't try and do the whole morning prayer on the first day. It's too much. It'll take you about 10 minutes or so. You might not have time for that. I understand. So, start with the first prayer. The Trisagion prayers, you start with those. It ends with the Our Father. You know these, you've heard them a million times already. So you start with that, it'll take you not more than 2 minutes. And then maybe after a week or two of doing that in the morning, in the evening, you might find, hey, you know, I think I've got a little more time this morning. So you might decide to read the Psalm in the morning, Psalm 62. O God, my God, at dawn I rise to you. My soul has thirsted for you. So you might decide to read that in the evening, and etc., etc. Okay? So we will bless these during the liturgy. By the way, I'm sure most of you are aware of this, but when you give me something to be blessed, if I can, we normally put it on the altar, and it stays there through the services. And then just before communion, I take that icon or that cross or necklace or book that someone's given me and make the sign of the cross and touch it to the chalice and the discos where the holy gifts are. This is the ultimate blessing, the Eucharistic blessing, which we use when we have the opportunity. So I'll keep these on the altar and bless them that way today. And then after liturgy, we'll distribute them to you. Please make sure you take one. It's very simple, short. Pocket size, so you can put it in your pocket. And also inexpensive enough that you can give it away. You might find someone who says to you, you know, how do Christians pray? Or they might be having trouble in their life. You're at work or in the neighborhood and you hear someone struggling with something. You reach in your pocket, pull this out and give it to them. You say, here, these are helpful. Pray this. Oh, thank you. And then you can get another one from the church. We have them where the books and icons are in the hall. Okay? So please consider these things throughout the Great Fast. Do not pass by the opportunities God gives us. Do not pass by the opportunities the Lord puts in our path. Don't pass by them and walk along. But rather, as the Good Samaritan who stopped and had an opportunity to help someone who was in need, to give alms to that poor man who had been injured on the road between Jericho and Jerusalem. Take those opportunities the Lord puts of people in our lives, fasting periods in our lives. These opportunities are there for our salvation. The Lord has put them there for us. Don't pass by on the other side of the road. Take these opportunities so that we may glorify Jesus Christ, not only in His coming death and resurrection, which we will celebrate, but also every day of our life. And to Him be glory with His eternal Father, and His all holy good and life-giving Spirit, both now and ever, and into ages of ages. Amen. Amen.